5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Race to savings now at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries ready for your next project. Power up your devices with Energizer batteries. Nothing outlasts the long-lasting power of Energizer Ultimate Lithium batteries. Right now, get a 4-pack of lithium batteries for $9.99 through February 14th. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on all your battery needs at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Chris, Sylvia, and his four siblings all enjoyed the outdoors and hiking while growing up. Originally from the East Coast, Chris was excited to relocate to Southern California as an adult and explore everything that the area had to offer. In 2015, Chris was at a bit of a crossroads. He had just broken up with a girlfriend, and he had decided to take a few days to hike a section of the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail, by himself. He just wanted to spend some time with his thoughts and clear his head. Chris was working in a restaurant at the time, and he would take 2 weeks off to do this hike. The plan was to be dropped off on February 12th in Anza, California, and he would be picked up on February 24th in Campo, California. His roommate and friend, Min Kim, would be there to meet him. His friend went to meet him on February 16th, as was planned, possibly for a supply run, but Chris never showed up for that meeting. Thinking that Chris must have just decided to finish the hike, Min Kim left. On February 24th, when Chris didn't show up as planned in Campo, Min Kim reported him missing. Where is Christopher Stevens Sylvia? Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Where Are They podcast in another unsolved missing person case. This story is the beginning of our Missing on the Pacific Crest Trail series. The Pacific Crest Trail is often considered the Appalachian Trail of the West Coast, but the Pacific Crest Trail is definitely its own unique and beautiful trail. This trail is most often referred to just as the PCT. It is 2,650 miles long, stretching all the way from Southern California on the Mexican border, all the way up to Northern Washington to the Canadian border. And the PCT offers all kinds of terrain. There's lots of open-air hiking areas, as well as wooded and mountainous areas. Many people hike the entire trail, but even more hike certain parts at a time. Those hikers are known as section hikers. Chris Sylvia was heading out specifically to do a section of the trail, and he planned to be out there for 12 days. He was experienced and he was also a minimalist. Chris didn't plan on taking much with him, just the bare necessities, sleeping gear, some food and water, and the book he was reading. Chris was dropped off in Anza, California on February 12, 2015. The plan was for him to meet up with his friend in Campo, California in 12 days. But something came up a few days in, and the specifics aren't exactly clear, but what we do know is that Chris decided to call his friend and his roommate, Min Kim, and asked him to meet him on the Chihuahua Valley Road near Warner Springs, California. What we don't know for sure is what Chris's intentions were. Some believed he was tired of hiking and he was ready to go home, and some think Min Kim was just supposed to help get him some supplies. And yet others wonder if the nearby Buddhist temple had anything to do with the visit. The temple is a ways off trail, and Chris would have likely needed a ride to get there. Min Kim remembers that Chris had told him that he had some crazy stories that he couldn't wait to tell him. Min Kim then told Chris that he couldn't get up there that day. He had to work. And he said Chris was very upset by this and seemed quite frustrated with him. But Min Kim said he would be able to get up there the next day. Chris's motives with regard to this phone call might be very important to this case, and we might not know them now, but what we do know is that Chris never showed up as planned to meet Min Kim. Min Kim did wait for a while and then decided that Chris must have decided to continue on the trail and not meet with him. Maybe he was still frustrated with Min Kim. Or maybe he hadn't wanted to wait. So Min Kim went home. On February 24th, Min Kim went to Campo to pick up Chris as planned. And after waiting quite a while this time for Chris and Chris not showing up, he decided that he needed to report Chris missing. And authorities did come in and begin searching the trail right away. Generally, in cases like this, it's believed that the hiker might have gotten lost or might have been injured and might need help finding their way back. During the search, volunteers came across some items near the area of Warner Springs, California. This is near where Chris was supposed to have met Min Kim back on February 16th. The items were confirmed to be Chris's. And to be specific, for those that know the trail, they were found near mile marker 127. On the side of a hill, they found his yellow sleeping pad spread out, the sleeping bag on top also spread out, and his backpack sitting next to them. And it looked odd. It certainly didn't look like a place one would stop to sleep. It was on quite a steep slope. Some thought that maybe, perhaps with the view that looked down over the valley, it might have been a nice place to sit and rest. But then why unpack your sleeping bag and your sleeping pad? Some suggested it looked like maybe Chris had been looking for something in his backpack and had to take everything out to find it. The only thing they were able to determine that was missing was Chris's wallet, cell phone, and the book he had taken with him. No one was quite sure how long those items had been there, but it was near the area he had been when he called Min Kim to come and meet him, near Warner Springs, California. Had they been there since February 16th? If so, where was Chris? The thing about the hiking community is that they're tight-knit and a caring group. You might have heard the stories talking about trail magic or trail angels. Hikers help hikers. They are known to come together, and when Chris disappeared, volunteers came out in droves to help search for him. Authorities also used search dogs and helicopters to search for Chris, but nothing was found. That is, until one hiker found Chris's book that he left behind at a local hostel near the trail, also near where his belongings were found. The search continued to be hard and heavy until it had to be called off because of the weather on March 3rd. Everyone tried to figure out what could have happened here. Did Chris walk away from his life? He was near a Buddhist temple, and he had a lot of interest in the Buddhist and the monk lifestyle. In fact, the book that he had been reading was a Buddhist book. Some wonder if he had decided to walk away from his current life and start a new one, possibly within a Buddhist community. Or was suicide a possibility? He was struggling a little bit, and he did have a history with depression. Although those that know him said he certainly wasn't suicidal. But I think it's important to realize that we might not know what someone is going through all the time. Chris and his girlfriend had just broken up, and for some reason, Chris seemed quite agitated when Min Kim couldn't meet him when he wanted him to. Was Chris in a tougher spot mentally than people knew? But then if this is the case, where is he? Authorities don't necessarily believe this theory because they said they have thoroughly searched that area many times over, and experienced hikers who know that area very well have also searched and turned up no sign of Chris. Could Chris have had an accident, or could he have possibly gotten lost? It's always a thought when someone is out in the wilderness or someone is out hiking. Could they have had an accident? But again, why leave all those belongings behind? Had he left them there and walked off for some reason? And if that's what happened, he couldn't have gone far. And again, that area was known to be very thoroughly searched. That area near mile marker 127 is also known as an open-air hike, meaning there are less dangers there than there would be in other areas of the trail. It is specifically known to hikers and park rangers and those in that area as being a safe part of the PCT. Others still have mentioned the possibility of mountain lions, which can be in that area. But wildlife officials have stated that the probability of a mountain lion attack is exceptionally low. Mountain lions are generally shy creatures that run away from any type of human interaction. However, it has been known to happen on that rare occasion. But there was no sign of any mountain lion in the area, and certainly no sign of an attack, at least that authorities came across. Was there maybe foul play? Chris's family does believe that foul play is a likely theory, and this is why he hasn't been found. This is also why all of his items were just abandoned. Could it be someone he met at the hostel, or someone that maybe had offered him a ride up to that Buddhist temple? He did tell Min Kim when he called to be picked up early that he had some crazy stories to tell him. What did that mean? Will we ever know? What do you think happened to Chris Sylvia? Christopher Stevens Sylvia is described as a Caucasian male, 5'9" tall, and weighing around 150 pounds when he was last seen in February of 2015. Chris was 28 years old and would today be 36 years old. Chris has brown hair and hazel eyes. He has Asian symbol tattoos on his side and possibly a tattoo on his leg. He was believed to be wearing green camo pants, a dark colored jacket, and brown hiking boots. Chris was last known to be near the 127 mile marker of the Pacific Crest Trail near Warner Springs, California, and this is also where his belongings were found. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Chris Sylvia is asked to contact the San Diego Police Department at 858-565-5200. Chris's siblings and all of his family continue to pray for answers someday on what happened to Chris. They hope that maybe he did just want to start fresh somewhere else and will one day walk back into their lives. They also fear that that is not a likely scenario. His family has submitted DNA and turned over Chris's dental records. In the event that a John Doe ever shows up, they want to be in the database so that if it were to be Chris, they could be reached right away. Instead, I truly do hope their prayers are answered someday and that Chris does show back up. Perhaps with stories to tell of living amongst the Buddhist monks. Or down in Mexico on a wild and crazy adventure. Maybe he'll come back with stories to tell. Thank you so much for listening to Chris's story today and the first in the series of missing hikers on the Pacific Crest Trail. David O'Sullivan traveled all the way from Ireland to the United States of America in 2017 with one goal in mind, to hike the entire Pacific Crest Trail. He had practiced, and he had been hiking different spots throughout Ireland. He had saved money. David worked all through college and spent a whole year working afterwards with all of his money going towards his savings so he could take 6 months off to hike the PCT. He read all the books. David loved to read anything he could get his hands on, and he was considered well-educated. He watched the movie Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon. The movie was based on true events, the story of Cheryl Strayed's adventures while hiking the PCT. David was ready. In the spring of 2017, he flew from Ireland to California. His plan was to begin at the trail's southern end in Campo, California, and hike all the way through to the Canadian border. In April, he had a resupply stop in Idlewild, California. He had stayed for 2 nights at the Idlewild Inn to rest up and refuel. He sent an email to his family on April 6th, stating that he was getting back on the trail the next morning. But from there, they wouldn't hear from David again. With limited communication, they waited quite a while to hear from him. It was finally July 2017 when they officially reported David as missing. Where is David O'Sullivan? Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Where Are They podcast and part two of our series of missing person cases from the Pacific Crest Trail, the PCT. David O'Sullivan was planning a through hike. He wanted to hike the entire length of the PCT, which runs from Campo, California, near the Mexico border, up to the Canadian border in Washington State. The entire PCT is 2,650 miles and passes through all kinds of terrain, open and airy, through mountains and wooded areas. Most hikers that take on the PCT are considered section hikers, and they will just hike parts of the trail at a time. Through hikes are more rare, and according to the park system, only half of the people that attempt a through hike will actually finish. It's much harder than most people imagine. The movie Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon, really brought the PCT to mainstream media. The story documents the true events of hiker Cheryl Strayed. This was the movie and book that inspired David to want to hike the PCT himself, even though he lived all the way in Ireland. He would make it a goal to research and save money so he could make the trip and complete the trail someday. David O'Sullivan was born August 29th, 1991, in Ireland. He grew up in Cork, Ireland, and he was very close to his family, which included his older brother, Niamh, parents, grandparents, and many cousins. David is described as a happy, funny, smart, and easygoing guy. David did attend college, and during college, he worked as the MC of a local radio show and as a part-time comedian doing stand-up comedy shows. This was something David wanted to pursue as a career, either in radio or comedy, or perhaps both. David was an avid reader as well, and it was after the movie Wild came out, he would read the book by Cheryl Strayed, and he then made it a goal to hike the PCT from start to finish. After he graduated college with a degree in media, David worked hard to save money for his PCT trip adventure, which would take at least 6 months to do. He worked at a garage and he saved as much money as he could. His plan was to hike the entire PCT, all 2,650 miles of it, before returning to Ireland and starting his career in radio broadcasting. This was his dream, and David was determined to make it happen. In 2017, David was finally ready to take the trip to California and begin the PCT hike of his dreams. His plan was to start in Campo and head north from there. David began his hike north on March 22, 2017. David did not have a working cell phone with him, but he did take along his Kindle, and this is what he would use to communicate occasionally with family when he could connect to Wi-Fi, that is. And he did have planned stops along the way to restock supplies and rest and recharge. David told his family he would connect with them during those stops. He also told his family not to worry about him if they didn't hear from him for a while, because there was likely to be spotty service in some areas, and he would need to stop every so often to recharge his Kindle. On April 6th, he did send an email to his family back in Ireland. He had stopped at the Idlewild Inn for 2 nights to recharge and pick up some supplies, and he had ordered a Kindle charger, but it hadn't arrived. David mentioned in the email that he was going to continue on without it. Not having a charger for his Kindle could have played a pivotal role in his disappearance. As time went on, no one heard from David. After a while, his family really began to worry. But David had told them that he might be out of touch for a while due to spotty service on some parts of the trail. That's understandable. In May, David had planned to meet up with a friend in the Santa Barbara, California area near the trail. But David never showed up for that meeting. Days turned into weeks, and eventually in July, his family reported David missing. But by then, the trail was cold. Kathy Tarr, a volunteer who dedicates her time to searching for missing and lost hikers, specifically on the PCT, says that there are 5 different trails from the Idlewild Inn that lead back to the PCT, and no one is quite sure which trail David would have taken. So the search for him was tedious in the beginning. David's parents, Carmel and Con, flew to Southern California to search for their son. They worked with Kathy, who was a big asset to the couple who had no idea about the PCT or anything really about Southern California. Despite searches on foot and searches with drones, no sign of David was found. One concern was the higher altitude of the mountains. Those mountains had snowfall during this time, and his family believes that that may have hindered David. He was an experienced hiker back in Ireland, but he had never had to deal with snowfall. Officials did try to retrace his steps and confirm his last whereabouts, and they were able to determine that he was indeed at the Idlewild Inn on April 6th, and that he had also visited the library nearby and signed the guest book. But from there, they found no signs of David anywhere. In 2020, Kathy Tarr created a foundation in the name of David and another missing hiker that disappeared on the PCT in 2016, Chris Fowler. The foundation is called the Fowler O'Sullivan Foundation. The Fowler O'Sullivan Foundation continues to help locate missing hikers and help families through the process. Their website has all of their information. You can find them at fofound.org. There are places to sign up to volunteer if you are near the area, and there's a link to donate as well. I will put that website link in the show notes for you if you'd like to check it out. Carmel still worries about her son every single day, still praying for answers. There has been no activity on his bank accounts, and no additional clues have surfaced since he vanished 6 years ago now. Carmel said this about David in a recent interview. Quote, "He would have been 30 this coming August. He is still 25 to me. He hasn't grown old. His friends are settling down between engagements, houses, and their careers. Life for them is great. And please God, it all works out for them. But he'll always be 25 for me, the boy who left home." End quote. David is described as a Caucasian male, standing about 5'10" tall and weighing around 150 pounds when he was last seen April of 2017. He has dark hair and blue eyes. David also speaks with a thick Irish accent. During his last contact with family, he was said to be at the Idlewild Inn. The Idlewild Inn is in a fairly rural area, and no one is quite sure where he might have went from there when he left the inn. David had told people that his plan was to head towards the San Jacinto Mountains. Did David ever make it back to the PCT? If he did, how much further did he get from there? Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of David O'Sullivan is asked to contact Murrieta Police Department at 951-696-3615. And again, I encourage you to check out the Fowler O'Sullivan Foundation and see all the work that they do to help search and locate missing and lost hikers. Again, that link will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to David's story today. I can't imagine his family being from another country and trying to make sense of what happened to their son, and trying to keep up search efforts and awareness from across the globe. The PCT sees thousands of hikers each year, and only half of those that attempt to thru-hike it will make it. Many find it's much more difficult than they anticipated and planned for, not just physically, but also mentally, perhaps more so a mental challenge. If you are planning to hike the PCT, taking proper precautions and being prepared is key and could just save your life. You can find a wealth of information and resources at the Pacific Crest Trail Association website, PCTA.org. And most importantly, be sure to tell someone your itinerary and your plans and check in with them regularly. Thank you again for listening to David's story, another tragic case of someone missing on the PCT. And of course, a big thank you for supporting our show, either on Patreon or as a subscriber. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.